Good to see everyone here this morning, and I would like to encourage you to go to the book of Job in the first chapter. This morning we're going to introduce our study from that text in a few moments. While you are turning there, I did want to acknowledge that I forgot to put in the bulletin one particular item that was made note of in the announcements, and that is the beginning of the ladies' Bible class. I was supposed to announce that and forgot to, but that's going to begin on September 2nd. And the primary reason why I needed to do that is so that everyone will know the date. It's the first Wednesday in September, as well as for the ladies who attend that Bible class, so that you'll be aware of the fact that all of the slots for the introductory talks that the ladies give for one another are open. And Jean is hopeful that you'll kind of sally over to the board in the side classroom and sign your name up so that those will be filled up as soon as possible. So I apologize for the fact that I didn't get that in the bulletin to remind you. I wanted to begin by making note of an event that some of you may be familiar with in American history. Actually, American / German history, I suppose, and that is the destruction of the German airship, the Hindenburg, in May of 1937. And I remember as a child, and no, I wasn't around back in 1937, but I remember as a child listening to the radio broadcast replayed of that particular event. It's a little bit different back then than it is today. All of us, I think, are inundated with bad news. The news is instant, and it's pervasive. It's always on the television. It seems like there's a disaster each day that comes up, and I think that perhaps from time to time we can become a little bit jaded to the reality of all the evil that exists in the world. It was a little bit different back then, maybe a slightly more innocent age, but also because of the fact that those kinds of things were not immediately reported on. In fact, if you remember the radio account of that, and it's often superimposed upon the images of the Hindenburg very, very quickly becoming engulfed in flames, and you can actually see in the news footage individuals jumping from that ship to their death. But that radio broadcast is, again, superimposed upon the video. It actually wasn't broadcast until the very next day. But I remember listening to that, and there's a phrase that was used in that broadcast by that eyewitness, and that was, "Oh, the humanity. Oh, the humanity." And it was very obvious that he was very upset. He was very emotionally distraught at what was happening before his very eyes, and that phrase came out. And as a young person, I really didn't know what that meant, "Oh, the humanity." But I think that I understand that a bit more now and recognize it as an expression of pure empathy. The fact that as he saw lives being destroyed, he saw people jumping to their death and this horrific event happening, that he was touched by all of the suffering of those and perhaps their families and what he was experiencing. Perhaps we feel something similar to that. I remember that I was watching television when the second airplane hit the World Trade Center. Didn't get to see or didn't see the first one, of course. But as the news was on live, many of us watched that second plane hit the tower. And we are eyewitnesses through video of what happened following when both of the towers fell. And we, too, were touched by those circumstances. And realizing that over 3,000 souls were lost that day to the fire and to the destruction as a result of that terrorist attack. And perhaps you can understand something about that phrase, "Oh, the humanity," and the empathy that we felt in that particular event. There is an event in the book of Job in the first chapter of a particular individual who suffered a great deal. And that is the phrase that comes to my mind when I read from Job the first chapter beginning in verse 13 about what happened to Job with regard to his own family. I want you to think about that. We talk about so much more We talk about the discourse and conversation that God had with Satan and those events which allowed Satan to take advantage of Job in these circumstances. But I just want you for a few moments to read the account with me in verses 13 through 22 and just imagine for a moment how quickly and how irrevocably the life of Job was altered as a result of these events. We're told there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you." Then Job arose, and he tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped, and he said, "Naked I came from my father's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And in all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. Again, there's much that we can learn from this particular account, but I chose it only as a means of introduction so that you will, again, contemplate for just a few moments' time just how terrific and how horrific the change was in Job's life in just a moment's time. And so we have empathy as we consider what happened to Job, and we recognize that his life was changed tremendously because of the physical circumstances. That, in fact, Job's life was devastated by his physical loss. And we ask that question, by way of application, what would happen with us, and how would we feel, and how would we react in such circumstances? But I want to make an application that is spiritual in nature, with regard to a change in life, and a change in circumstance. And I want you to consider just for a few moments, Job, because the parallel, though it is referring to spiritual matters rather than physical, I think is somewhat arresting. I want you to think for a few moments what his family and what his possessions meant to Job and how great a value those things were to him. They were of great value. He was a rich man. He had many possessions and he had children. He had a family. And all of those things were taken away from him in a moment's time. Of course, later we're told that Job was revisited by Satan and he lost even his own personal health, so that literally everything that he had of value physically upon earth was taken away from him and nothing remained. He reacted in a very righteous way. And of course, the remainder of the book is taken up with regard to his conversation with his friends and his questions of God. But we're told that he was a righteous man, that he did not sin. And we see a little bit of that in verse 21 and 22 of our text. But those things were valuable to him, and they were taken away. Satan's view was that if these things were taken away, he would curse God, because Satan realized that those things were of value. And in fact, when we talk about that, we express empathy, and we say, "Oh, the humanity," when we consider how an individual has something of value taken away from him. It may be that he loses family. It may be that he loses his own health for one reason or another. It may be because of the loss of a loved one or circumstances in life that change that cause a great deal of sorrow, sadness, distress in our lives, and we empathize with them because we know how valuable those things are, how valuable family, how valuable friends, how valuable health really is, our home. And we express to God our appreciation and give Him thanks for all the blessings He has given us. And we understand how destructive it would be if those things were taken from us. But God has granted to us innumerable blessings that are not only physical in nature, but also spiritual in nature. I'm reminded of the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, where the Apostle Paul relates that all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places come through Jesus Christ. All the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And I want you to understand that we are blessed. And our blessings are not only, when we talk about blessings of the spiritual nature, things that look forward to eternity, the things that we will one day grasp hold of, hope of heaven, reconciliation with God that leads to our being in His presence for eternity. But also there are great benefits that are accrued as we live upon this earth as a result of the relationship we sustain with Christ. And so considering how Job's life changed and how greatly it changed, we want to ask that question, how would our life be different if we were limited with regard to the spiritual blessings that God has granted to us? And we're going to go through these fairly rapidly, but that's the sentiment of the lesson, the theme of the lesson this morning, and what I want you to contemplate. And I want to talk a little bit about the value of these things. I want to ask the question, first of all, how would your life be different if you could no longer read the Bible? If you could no longer read God's will that has been revealed to man? Surely, we are all aware of and familiar with the blessings of God's Word revealed to us, how that we can know the mind of God for us, what God wills for us, what God desires for us, what God requires of us, because it has been revealed as the work, the instrument, the product of inspiration given to us by the Holy Spirit. And there are statements in Scripture which allude to this. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 tells us that we are blessed if we hunger and thirst after righteousness because we shall be filled. Now this is an acknowledgement of the fact that our desire to know God's will as we hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you may remember the Apostle Paul as he talked about the Jews and their ignorance because they were and had a zeal for righteousness, but they were ignorant of God's righteousness, and they supplanted it with their own. But if we hunger and thirst after true righteousness, that which emanates from God, we are given the promise that we shall be filled. But what if that were not available to us? How great a loss would that be in your life if you did not have that ability to open up your Bible every day and study in it and derive from it an understanding of God's will and what righteousness is? We are, of course, called in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's something, again, that we are called to do and something that we can do precisely because we have the product of inspiration. I think that we today even receive greater blessing because of the ready availability of that. There are times past, generations past, where though the Bible had been given and the product of inspiration was there, it was not readily available. It cannot be more readily available to us than it is presently. I don't know. I mean, there may be something that technology comes up with in the future that makes it even easier to have God's Word than it is now, but many of you have smartphones and you have them in your purse, or they're sitting beside you in the pew or in your pocket. And some of you may even have it out with the Bible pulled up on your smartphone so that you can follow along to the lesson. Tablets, computers, the books that we have that have been printed, all of these things mean that we do not have to spend any time apart from God's Word. It is a wonderful blessing that we have. How would our lives be different if we did not have that daily availability of the Word, ability to study it and to read from it every single day. At any time that we desire to, it's available to us. How would our lives be changed if that was taken away from us? Secondly, how would your life be different if you could no longer sing in worship? Again, this is something that is a blessing to us. We, of course, yesterday evening had an opportunity to come together for more than 90 minutes. We went overtime a little bit last night. We sang about 30 songs of praise to God, had an opportunity to come together and worship Him in spirit and in song. And it was something that I trust was edifying to all who were here. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, we are given that command to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And with regard to edification, and we understand the sentiment of the song being so important, but there is nothing that is more uplifting than to be able to sing songs of praise to God. Something about the melody imbued words. The fact that not only are we speaking to one another, but we're doing so in verse, and we're using the music, which is something in itself that is uplifting and exalting to us. It's a wonderful, wonderful blessing that we have. You know, we have our song leaders from time to time that will have various themes that they will come up with. Last night I thought, you know, the three songs, I actually picked six out. I was wasn't sure how many song leaders we would have, but I had opportunity to sing three of the six, and I did the same thing that the men do. I went to the book and I tried to find songs about happiness and joy. And those kinds of things are truly uplifting, to be able to sing songs concerning Christ as our Lord, concerning the opportunity. We have an opportunity to sing and be happy, and it's certainly a blessing that we have. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, and teach and admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's truly a blessing for us. The opportunity to come together on the Lord's Day, and as a part of our worship, to sing together. And if you are like I am, then you have opportunities, and you take advantage of opportunities from day to day in your life to sing to God as well. If an individual is cheerful, let him sing a song. And that's truly a blessing that we have. Third question, how would your life be different if you no longer had the avenue of prayer? Now, we have already alluded to the fact that God has given to us His Word, so He has communicated to us His will for us. But what if we did not have that avenue where we could cry out, Abba, Father, and trust that God would hear our petitions and the supplications? We no longer had that opportunity to lift up our voice in thanksgiving to God as we express our thanksgiving to Him for all the blessings that He has given us. How would our lives be different in that regard? Philippians chapter 4, talking about anxiety, indicates that prayer is a way in which anxiety can be alleviated. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now there are some parenthetical thoughts here. So let's just get to the central thought. Be anxious for nothing, let your requests be made known to God. And that is a specific statement indicating that if we cast our burdens upon God, that the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and minds through Christ. The avenue in which this is accomplished is through prayer. Prayer is certainly a great blessing in the life of Christians. What would our lives be like? What would your life be like if you no longer was given or were given the avenue of prayer with which to offer up your praise to God and express to Him your inner thoughts and needs? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul indicates that prayer should be a central part of our lives. Pray without ceasing. I look at that passage and I've heard so many explanations of it that I think are somewhat missing the point when they say that we always ought to have a prayerful attitude. And that's certainly the case. But what the Apostle Paul here is indicating is that prayer should be an integral part of our life. It should never be far from our lips to express our thanksgiving and offer up our petitions to God. We should be constantly praying to Him. How would your life be different if that avenue was no longer available to you. How would your life be different, we ask, if you could not assemble with the saints for worship, if that was no longer available to you? You know, we talk a bit, we mention from time to time our shut-ins, and had opportunity while Charlene Garner was in the hospital recently with regard to her surgery to talk with her again. And it's something that any time I have opportunity to talk with her, she repeats, is how much she misses being with us. She has been in a state where she is not capable of coming to worship for a long period of time. We have others who are shut in, who no longer have this avenue to where they can come and be strengthened, and where they have the opportunity to strengthen, where they come together with the opportunity to praise God with those of like precious faith. How would your life be different if you could not assemble for worship? In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26, we are told that in the company of brethren we are edified. He said, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. He said, let all things be done for edification. That's the purpose of our coming together. The word edify means to build up. And it is through our interaction with one another that we grow stronger as Christians. If that avenue were not available to us, how much weaker would we be spiritually? Because we didn't have that opportunity. Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 24 and 25, just to allude to a future point that we'll make as we draw our lesson to a close, I want you to notice that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some. So there were some individuals who were not taking advantage of the opportunities that they had to worship together. He said, don't be that way. In other words, as verse 24, we are to consider one another that we may stir up love and good works, exhort one another, and that's the purpose of our worship. And again, how poor would we be, poor in spirit, if we did not have that abundance and that fruitfulness and that joy that we have as a result of being with those of like precious faith for the purpose of worshiping God and edifying one another. And then finally, in regard to this, how would your life be different if you did not have the ability to tell others about Christ? If your mouth was stopped, if you were precluded. You know, there are rumblings in our society today that are truly troublesome to me as a preacher of the gospel, the idea that as a result of the proclamation of my faith, that there might be a circumstance or a situation where I would be persecuted for what I say. It's happened to other preachers in other times, other Christians in other places and other cultures were not able to proclaim the message of the gospel, at least overtly, unless they were willing to suffer persecution as a result of the proclamation of their faith. We are very grateful for the fact that we're living in a society to where it is not unlawful. It is sometimes frowned upon. It is sometimes the cause of antagonism as individuals are resentful of our attempts to proselytize, but we still have the right to share the precious gospel. We are told, as the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, that it is the power of God to salvation. And that is why, with every fiber of his being, he was willing to preach it to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Of course, Jesus gave his disciples in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 that call to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a part of our responsibility. And I ask you to consider how your life might be different if that opportunity was not afforded you. You didn't have the opportunity to do these things. And so, before we get to the conclusion of our lesson, I want to go down that list very quickly again. I want you to consider it carefully. We have the product of inspiration, God's Word, that we have the opportunity to read every day. We can spend as much time as we desire in reading God's Word. It is a very precious gift that is given to us. We have the opportunity to come together on the first day of every week and gather together with the people of God. The elders and their wisdom have actually even appointed a midweek Bible study where we have further opportunity to come together and to spend a period of time in worship, singing songs of praise to God, to pray to God. We have opportunity to do so individually in our homes, whether it be a part of a family devotion, whether it be part of private devotion to God, to sing songs to Him and to pray to Him. We have an opportunity to assemble again on the first day of the week to worship Him collectively. Corporate worship. There are a lot of people who have the idea that everything is worship to God. There is something that is special, something that is precious about corporate worship, of coming together with those of like precious faith as a collectivity, as a group of saints together, to raise up our voices together in songs of praise to God, to say an amen to the sentiments expressed in sincere and reverent prayer to God, to commune together around His table and have an opportunity to proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again. Those are precious, precious opportunities that we have every Lord's Day to come together. And we have, fortunately, in our society, an ability to share the gospel message without fear of government reprisal. Now, I'll remind you that the saints in the first century, that they did it even when it cost them their freedom. It cost them dearly with regard to personal persecution, and from time to time even cost them their lives. And yet they did not have their mouths stilled, but rather proclaimed the gospel message to those who were lost, and it saved the souls of many. And so we offer again that question, how would your life be different if you did not have that opportunity? And the reason we want to offer that question, because I am certain with regard to those five things that we mentioned before, that there are individuals who are not fully taking advantage of their opportunity to study God's Word, to sing songs of praise to God, to pray to Him, to worship God upon the first day of the week, to share the gospel with others. And I think that it can be said with regard to some that if those opportunities were taken away from us, that our lives would not be substantively different because we're not taking advantage of those things right now. And so each of us need to examine our hearts to find out whether there would be a significant difference in our lives. You know, going back to our example as we begin our lesson this morning with regard to Job, his life was changed dramatically. He was a rich man with sons and daughters. He had a family. He had possessions. He had a wife at that particular time who had not turned away from him in disgust as he lost even his health. All of those things he had, and all of those things were taken away from him. And so he was destitute, and that was a tremendous change. And I hope and pray that you as a child of God, if you were to have taken away from you your Bible so that you did not have access to it anymore, that you would feel destitute because you did not have that daily opportunity to dwell in the Word of God. That if you did not have the opportunity to sing and to pray and to commune around the Lord's table, to come together on the first day of the week or in private devotion to express your love for your God and express your desire to edify and to build up your brethren, that you would feel destitute as a result of it. And that if your mouth was stopped for some reason, to where you did not have the ability to share the message that burns in your heart to those who are lost, to take advantage of the opportunities that you have, the doors that have been opened providentially to share that message that burns in your heart to the lost, so that you can experience the joy of bringing an individual to Christ, that you would feel destitute. So you need to examine your heart, and I need to examine mine to think if our lives would be greatly different if those things were taken away from us. Because if it wouldn't be, then we need to make some changes in our lives. I'm going to offer a final question for your consideration as we draw our lesson to a close. And it is kind of the opposite of that. And that is, ask yourself this. Recognizing that each and every one of us have not fulfilled our potential entirely. That there are things that we could do better, we could be more prolific, we could be more zealous in these five areas and others as well. What if you did take every opportunity? Advantage of all the circumstances, all of the talents, all of the abilities, all of the provisions that you have to serve the Lord with diligence and to encourage and edify your brethren and to bring benefit to a lost and dying world, how much would your life change? In other words, how close to fulfilling your potential are you truly? And again, that's only something that you can come to a consideration of in your heart, that you can answer for yourself. But it's a question, I think, that is worthy of raising and of consideration this morning. And so, we draw the lesson to a close. We leave it with you with that understanding that our lives could be different if we place more value upon the spiritual things that we have. And maybe the best way of understanding how important those things are is thinking about what would happen if those things were taken away from us. I don't know that Job could have that full understanding until it happened to him. But I can think about how destitute I would be if those things were taken from me. The physical possessions that I had, if my health, if my family were taken away from me, how destitute I would be. I hope and pray that we all can consider that and see how destitute spiritually we would be if our opportunities to serve God were taken away from us. If you've not lived up to your potential, it may be that you have a need to go in your closet and pray to God and ask God to forgive you in those areas where you have fallen short. And if that is the case, we encourage you to do that today. But it may be that there is one who is here today who needs help in a public way, help that we can assist you with. And if that is the case, we're going to offer an invitation at this time to you to come forward so that we can help you and assist you. As we know of your needs, maybe we can pray on your behalf. As we know of your discouragements, perhaps we can in some way encourage you and help you to live as you ought for the Lord. And if that is the case, then we offer ourselves to you this morning, to do just that. If you are not a child of God and you want to begin your service to the Lord this day, we offer ourselves to you as well to assist you in that task. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can turn away from your sins today, determined to serve Him always, put Him first in your life. Accept Him as your Lord and confess that before those assembled this morning, be baptized to have your sins washed away. Our invitation to you is to take advantage of that opportunity this morning. If we can help you or assist you in any way to answer that invitation call, we extend it.